We're on the bottom of Mem Tes Amud Aleph, and we're carrying on to the top of Mem Tes Amud Beis. We're learning in Agadata about marriage and who to marry. And the Gemara established that a person should sell the shirt off his back in order to marry a Bas Talmud Chacham. Tanur Rabbanon on the top of Mem Tes Amud Beis. Liolam Yimkar Adam Kol Masha Yeshlo V'Yisa Bas Talmud Chacham. And now the Braisa gives us a Seder Adifut. In other words, if you cannot marry a Bas Talmud Chacham, what's next on the list? Going down one level, and what's third on the list is Yisa Bas Gedolei Ador. And Rashi interprets Gedolei Ador as a reference to Tzadikim, Anshei Maise. These are people who are well known and recognized because of their great midos. Lo Motza Bas Gedolei Ador, Yisa Bas Roshei Knesios. They are also considered Bali Midos. They also have many of the outstanding attributes, and they are dedicated to the community. Lo Motza Bas Roshei Knesios, Yisa Bas Gaboi Tzedakah. And this is quite interesting, that the Gaboi Tzedakah is considered on a very high level, because, as Rashi points out, we don't appoint someone as a Gaboi Tzedakah unless we've checked him out. He has a great reputation, he's known to be a very good person, compassionate and reliable. And what's fascinating is that one level below Gaboi Tzedakah is Lo Motza Bas Gaboi Tzedakah, Yisa Bas Melamdei Tinokos. It would sound like the simple, straightforward reading of this braisa indicates that a Gaboi Tzedakah is on a higher level than a Melamdei Tinokos, which is very odd, because the Gemara very often indicates that a Melamdei Tinokos is crucial. I mean, it's somebody that keeps the world going, so to speak. So I have a note here, and he writes the following. He says, Mashma midivrei ha-Gemara, Shemalosam shel Gaboi Tzedakah gedola mimalosam shel Melamdei Tinokos. We have a greater deal of respect or esteem for someone who is a tzedakah collector than for someone who teaches the young children. And therefore it's better to marry, if you have a choice, a Bas Gaboi Tzedakah, and only if you can't find a Bas Gaboi Tzedakah, then you marry the daughter of a Melamdei Tinokos. And he writes, Tamua, because Isa b'Gemara Baba Basra, the Gemara has a drasha on a pasuk in Daniel, which reads, Hamaskilim Yazhiru Kizoar Harakia. Now, who are these maskilim that radiate like the beautiful sunlight and so forth? Elu Gaboi Tzedakah. But then the end of the pasuk says, "Umatzdikei harabim kikochavim." The elu melamdei tinokos. And the impression you get is that the beauty of the stars exceeds the zohar harakia. Zohar harakia is some sort of like flash of light, a brilliant light in the horizon. But the beautiful light that shines from the stars, that would seem to be even more beautiful, putting Melamdei Tinokos on a higher level than Gaboi Tzedakah. So Tosfos here, Dibra Maskil Lo, which is the second Tosfos on the page, says that Zohar HaRakia is actually greater, it supersedes Zohar HaKochavim. And the Mila of Gaboi Tzedakah is greater than the Mila of Melamdei Tinokos. And the Ran writes that he found this logic very, very strange for many, many years. Ad sheroa b'chochmas tchunas al galgalim shekach hadomar. I guess he studied astronomy and he came to the conclusion that the beauty of the Zohar HaRakia exceeds that of the light of the stars. But in any event, this is a very new idea that Gabbai Tzedakah on such a high level that supersedes even that of Melamdei Tinokos, who really keep the world going. In any event, we've got these five levels. There's no sixth level. And the Braisa completely closes the door, don't even consider the possibility of marrying the daughter of an Amoritz. V'lo yisa bas ami ha'aretz mipnei shehen kishekets. They are considered like something disgusting, like a creeping, crawling thing. Now, it's very interesting because the word sheketz is usually designated for avodah zarah. Avodah zarah is called sheketz because the Torah says, lo yidbok biyodcha me'uma min acherim. We're not allowed to get any benefit from avodah zarah. So the Marsha comments that the reason why the Gemara borrows this term sheketz from avodah zarah and applies it to Amoretz is to impress upon us that just like we have to stay away from avodah zarah and it's aser banah, we can't get any benefit from avodah zarah, so too we're not allowed to attach ourselves to Ami Haaretz in any way, and certainly not to marry their daughter. And let me just read one more line, and then I want to make a general comment about this Agadato. He says, Unishoseim Sheretz. In other words, even those who are married Tamei Haaretz, these wives, they're also considered Sheretz. We also assume that they are Nagua, they are affected by in the same way as their husbands as an Amoretz. V'albinoseim, and as far as marrying the daughter of an Amoretz, the Torah says, Arur Shochev im Kol Behema. And, okay, the Amoretz doesn't appreciate the significance of Torah, and in that sense, just like an animal can't appreciate the Torah, the Gemara uses this as a mashal. Now, before I came to this meeting, as we call it, I had doubts, I had vacillations, whether or not to learn the Gemara that we're about to learn, this Agadata, because, you know, the terrible things, you know, you can say all sorts of things about an ignorant person who doesn't know Torah. Maybe we're talking about a person who could have studied Torah and deliberately avoided Torah, but still, we're going to see such very, very extreme, harsh things. I mean, I would never say that an Amoretz is chayav misa, that we should put him to death. So I was really going to skip this whole Agadata because I felt it was way beyond over my head. But I found a footnote here, Dafka in the English translation, which calmed me down a little bit. And he writes the following. If you happen to have the English translation, you'll see it's footnote number 9. And he writes, an Amoretz in this context signifies a person who is deliberately evil. In other words, this is a whole different terminology. You know, we have associations with terms that we see in the Gemara and the Shas, and very often we're mistaken. I don't think there's a more profound example than this one. I mean, wake me up in the middle of the night and ask me about an Amoretz, I'll give you a whole list of them. I know many of them, but I wouldn't call them, evil people. So that this terminology of Amoretz has to be seen in a totally different light as it's used in the Talmud than the way we use it. And this person is deliberately evil, not only with respect to God, you know, it's bad enough if, let's say, they're not mafresh, trumas, and maisers, but also with respect to man, to fellow man. And specifically, the reference here is to someone who frequently engages in violence and banditry and is suspected of murder. Abosai, this is not an Amoretz in our dictionary. We've got to create a whole new lexicon. this is a murderer, or at least a someone who's suspect of murder. You know, I would add, you know, to this footnote that Oy Vazoy, we're talking about a Rodev. A Rodev has to be put to death. He says, in view of his evil ways, it may be necessary to kill him when the opportunity arises to save the lives of future victims. He's mamish talking about a Rodev. He doesn't use that term, but... And he quotes Tosfos, he quotes the Rosh. He says that others, and here I think he quotes the Ritva and the Ran, understand that our Gemara is referring to someone who at this very moment has the intention to sexually humiliate another person, and it's going to be either a male or a female. The law in such a case is that one should kill the pursuer, oh, now he's talking about a Rodev, in order to save the intended victim, and he tells you to look in Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Gimel. In fact, this law is not limited to an Amah Aretz. We're talking here about an Amah Aretz that's behaving like a Rodev. Now, you might ask, so why doesn't the Gemara use the word Rodev? I mean, why beat around the bush? You know, why mislead me and use the term Amah Aretz? And here I would say there's an agenda. You know, Chazal want to tell you that the root of all these issues of a person who's evil and he tries to sexually attack someone else or he engages in violence, what is the root of evil? It's amaratus. It's the fact that he does not expose himself. He's not interested in studying Torah. And then, and this last paragraph, in the name of the Ritva, really saved the day for me. He says, some Rishonim maintain that the Gemara should not be taken literally. Which always reminds me of what I heard from the Rav, that we don't have the keys to understand the Gadita. It is certainly forbidden to kill an Amah Aretz. One who kills an Amah Aretz is subject to the death penalty. Rather, the Gemara is using an exaggerated statement in order to encourage people to leave the ignorant ways of Amah Aretz and study Torah. And he quotes the Maral, who says that the Gemara is not to be taken literally, so we have none other than the Ritva and the Maral to rely on. And in a sense, that gave me the sort of license to go ahead and teach this Agadita. Although, as I said, I was very tempted to skip the whole business. And again, keep in mind, we're talking not about an Amah Aretz the way we call an Amah Aretz, but we're talking about a person who is vicious, he is a bandit, he is evil to both God and to man. He's suspect of the most horrible sexual crimes and even murder. And according to some, he's actually in the pursuit of his victim. And therefore, we're going to put him to death. Tanya Rebbe Omer, Amah Aretz, Asur Lechol, Basar, some have the gears of Basar Behema. He should not be allowed to eat meat. Shenemar, Zos Torah Sabehema Va'of. And then the word Torah here is to be taken as a reference to the study of Torah. The Torah goes on to say that we're allowed to eat Behema and Of, but it's only Torahs. If we have Kala Osik B'Torah Mutu Lechel Behema, now here I have a note in the name of the Ramban. He says, as a result of their ignorance, they don't know the laws of Shechita, of Melicha, and the Ramban is medayik that the name Dagim here does not appear on the page because Dagim don't require Shechita. He quotes the Marsha that the difference between Basar Behema and Of on the one side and Dagim on the other is that with regard to Behema va'Of, Rabu Dinehem, there are so many Dinim that apply to Behema V'yov. U'mishena osik v'torah v'ada yikoshel behem. He will not be able to be careful about the laws and the permission to eat basar, behema, and oaf. Ach dogim, efshal avchin bekalut, besnapir, bekaskeses, just show me a fish, I'll tell you whether it's kosher or not, and therefore mutal lachol, adam li ochlam, even in Amaretz is allowed to eat fish. He quotes the Me'irish, din ze nemar dafka b'mokum she'ein gadol mimenu imo. If he's together with a great person who's a supervisor who knows the law, then that's okay. Now, sfeikos hamizdamnos b'shchita b'treifos b'melicha b'taroves hu adi yodei lachriya b'hem. He himself, the Amoritz, cannot decide any of these halachas. Ach, however, yeh gadol imo, yeh mutal olechol, because he will rely on the kashrus supervision of the gadol. The Ben Yoyada says we should not take this Gemara to mean that there's an Isur, that an Amoritz is really not allowed to eat. El kavana sabrai salomar sheno roish chiyochal basar. He says even if we have kosher meat, roi limno, we should prevent him from eating the meat. The kevon shim yurgal biachilas basar. He says, this is kosher meat, but if he gets used to eating meat, then even if he finds himself in a place where there's no kosher meat, lo yuchal lichbosh tavaso, he will not be able to overcome his desire for meat, and therefore yochal basa trefa, he will eat non-kosher meat. The most philosophical of all approaches here is that of the Ein Eliyahu, in the name of the Mefarshim, Hoil v'ikar ha'mayla she'esh la'odim al balichayim. This is almost an address to vegetarians. What allows man to take the flesh of an animal and eat it? Hu mishum she'esh lo seichel v'oser etzon Hashem. He uses his freedom of choice to study, to understand, to contemplate, and to fulfill the will of God. And therefore, Shlito HaKadosh Baruch Hu al chayos ha'aretz. But if he's a person, she'eino osa ratzon Hashem, harehu hagarua mikol balei chayim, he's even worse than the animals. The animals don't have that intellectual capacity. V'eilo rishus lishlot aleihem uliochlo. So it's interesting, every time you eat a piece of meat, you should have this kavana that you are chosen as a Baal Seichel, as someone who fulfills the Ratzon of Hashem. Amar Rabbi Elazar Amoritz Muto L'Nocharo. This is the idea that we mentioned before. He's a Rodef, and we can put him to death. And we can give him a violent sort of death, L'Nocharo. The translation of L'Nocharo, which is here based on Rashi elsewhere, Rashi and Chulin, is L'Kora'o Li arko l'rochbo, meaning rip him apart, rip him to shreds. Again, as we said, according to the Ritva and the Maral, we're not going to take this literally. Now, imagine the necessity, the urgency to put this Amaretz to death. How urgent is it? B'yom HaKippur Shechalios B'Shabbos, you have an overlap of the greatest two kedushos in one day, 24 hours. It's both Shabbos and Yom Kippur. Even so, we're going to rip him to shreds. And again, this would support those mefarshim who say that we're talking about a rodef, and he's actually a rodef right this moment. Tosis, on the other hand, Dibra Maskel Yesh. Tosis says that we're talking about an Amoretz Shemakir. It's not a total ignoramus who never was taught. He knows, but Kofer, nevertheless he denies it, and he's Lahachis. Therefore, Mutal Ahargo, Mishum Pikuach Nefesh, Hare Listim, Choshed Al Adamim, we suspect that he is going to be a murderer. It's almost like the Gemara Ben Sora Morir, Nidon Al Shem Sofo, or a Baba Machteres, you know, you kill him because otherwise he's going to kill you if you try to defend yourself. Then he quotes Rav Shrira Gaon, and Rav Shrira Gaon is quoted by the Ramban, not here but elsewhere, Masechta Chagiga. Shekavaras Hagemara Lomar Shepa'omim Buraso Goremes Lo Lovely De Misa Minuveles B'Yom HaKippurim Shechal B'Shabbes V'Hainu Shemachmas Shu'a Ma'oretz Hareu Yovo Lorutz Achar Azochor V'Achar Nara Murasa B'Yom HaKippurim Shechalios B'Shabbes Yovel De Misa Minuveles Mishum Shem Yamtinu La Miso B'Shar Haruge Kishar Haruge Bezdin Shaborim la misa yofa, but no memarim la miso b'miso minuvelis. In other words, have no compassion whatsoever. You must urgently put him to death because he's running after a male or after a married woman. And again, he quotes many, many Rishonim who assume that this statement of Rabbi Lazar is referring to a rodent. Amar lo Talmidov, Rebbe Amar l'shochto, why do you use the term l'nocharo? Wouldn't it be more appropriate or exact to use the word l'shochto? Now, the reason why the Gemara thinks the word l'shochto is more appropriate here, says the Chasam Sofer, is based on a Gemara that we didn't get to at the end of this Amud, Shama'aretz Domila Ri, Shedores Vi Ochel, Vi Eno Mamtin Ad Shetarfo Yomus. He says that the Gemara is going to compare an Amu'aretz to a lion. A lion will pounce upon its prey and start eating it even before the victim. Its victim is dead. And therefore, Roy Lahargo be also derech. Lachain Amru lo Talmidov, Emar Lishokto, Mishum, Shemeshchito, Biad Kshishokhet Shnei Simonim, Nechshav Kemes Afalpi, Shemefarches, Viodenu Chai. He says that Shchito would be a more appropriate way of putting this guy to death based on the analogy between an Amoretz and an Ari. Because even after the Shechita, the person is still mefarches. He's still sort of like alive, although he's considered dead. Now he quotes the Marsha, as we saw before, that the Kavanas HaGemara Lomar, Shemuta Levaisho, that this word, L'Shachto, should not be taken literally, but rather it means to embarrass him. Okay, so this Marsha is based on a Gemara in Bab Metzia. The Gemara in Bab Metzia says that if you humiliate someone, it's as if you are shofech damim because his face turns red. And that complexion is a reflection of the fact that his blood is sort of not circulating in the proper way. And according to Marsha, this discussion here about what we should do to the Amoretz is really symbolic of being mevayish him. And any sort of blood here is about embarrassing a person. And he says that the word shchita is more appropriate here. Sheshchita yesh bo yoser netilas dam. That through shchita the blood comes flying, flowing out. Amar lehem. So Reb Lazar now tells him, the Talmidim, why he used the word l'nocharo rather than l'shochto. Zeton bracha v'ze enoton bracha. That shchita requires a bracha, ala shchita, but nechira doesn't require bracha. So I used deliberately the term nechira which means it's even more humiliating than the word shechita, because shechita at least is a ritual act and you make a bracha on it. But nechira doesn't even get a bracha. Once again, Rabosai, I think all this is metaphoric. There's a conversation here that's going on a deeper level, you know, not on the surface level. Let me just see for a moment in case he adds anything here. Number 12. Oh, first of all, he has the Marsha that we had here, the Masifta, that the Gemara used the term stabbing as a metaphor for embarrassing. When one stabs a person, blood flows from him. Similarly, when one embarrasses another person, the blood drains from his face. The Gemara thus means that it's permissible under certain circumstances to embarrass an Amoritz. Fine. Shechita draws even more blood, so let's recommend slaughtering him. He says we recite a blessing before slaughtering an animal because animals fulfill the purpose for which they were created. An Amoritz, however, does not fulfill the purpose of man, which is the study of Torah. Thus, by mentioning the act of stabbing, which does not warrant a blessing, even in the case of an animal, Rabbi Lazar alludes to the lack of meaning in an Amoritz's life. But let me get that again, that in the case of a bracha, so we're saying about the animal that's fulfilling the purpose. And in the case of an Amoritz, we're talking about a person who does not achieve his purpose. And therefore, by mentioning the act of stabbing, Rabbi Lazar alludes to the lack of meaning in his life. Ah, I see. In other words, in Shechita, we indicate that the animal is, so to speak, fulfilling something meaningful for which God created it. It's a fulfillment of the will of God. However, in this case of the Amoritz, we want to say just the opposite, that he does not fulfill the will of God, and therefore we're going to use Nechira as opposed to Shechita. In the case of Shechita, we make a bracha because it indicates that we're, in a sense, elevating the animal to a higher level because it's fulfilling the will of God. Amar Rabbi Lazar, Amoretz osur lehislavos imo bederech. It means that you have to be very, very careful and not expose yourself to danger. If you're going to be alone with this Amoretz, who, as we said before, might be suspect of murder, you're putting your life into danger. Shenemar, with regard to Limud Torah, it says, Ki hi chayecha v'orech yomecha. We have Ki hu chayecha v'orech yomecha. So Torah is the key to long life, to longevity, right? Al chayav enucha. Now he says, what about this Amoritz? Al chayav lochas. He gave up the purpose of life, namely Limud Torah. Is al chay chaver lo kolshkein. You can bet your bottom dollar that he's not interested in saving your life. In fact, he might even murder you. He says, tzorch iu. He quotes the Sfas Emes. Amoritz eino chas al chayov, hu bamesh eino lomei Torah, v'imkein hoylo rak lachshoshi monu mililmod. Maybe this Amoritz is going to prevent you from studying Torah. Madua choshesh, why should we suspect she argeu, hu biras vas emesh aho v'iniach Amoritz es divrei Torah, v'lo chas al chayav. In other words, all he's interested in is some sort of selfish pleasure, but he's not really having any compassion on his own life. Is yesh lach shosh, we therefore suspect shema tisgaber olav ataiva larugas chaviro v'lo yimona mizeh. I find this interesting that the Sfas Emes used the word taiva, to describe murder. You know, I would have said that taiva has to do with lust, with eating, gluttony. We spoke before yesterday about it. Even a Talmud Chacham would get so caught up and swept away by gluttonous eating. But he's using the word taiva for a person's desire to murder. I guess there are people who are murderers, and they just get so much pleasure out of murdering. I mean, again, it's something that's so foreign to our understanding. So if this person is not able to overcome his taiva, and he leaves the Torah behind, then we have to worry that he might kill you. Again, but here he's not telling you to put him to death. We're not talking necessarily about a road thing. We're just talking about being marchik yourself from the Amorites because you might be exposing yourself to danger. We can rip him apart like we do to a fish. Migabo is always used in the Gemara to refer to a maka she'en lo refua. She'eno yochel lichyos yoser. He'll die from this maka. Now, comes along the Me'iri, and he says that we should understand this Gemara in light of the Gemara in Sota, where the Gemara has various opinions about the Amma Oretz. And he says, Khan, here in our Gemara, we're talking about someone who was exposed to Torah, and he was kofar. He rejected the Torah, and he's interested in lahachis, you know, he's just a deliberate, you know, sinner rebelling against God. Shari Goso he kamo pikuach nefesh, mishumshu list him. We're talking about someone who's a bandit. Vechoshet al ariga, and we suspect that he'll even murder you. And this is the way the Me'iri learns our Gemara. Now, the Marsha seems to understand that this Gemara is addressing this Gemara about, you know, staying away from an Amoritz because of his danger, the possibility is specifically addressing Talmidei Chacham. Why? He says the Gemara is going to explain later on, very shortly, that the hatred of an Amoritz for Talmud Chacham is greater than the hatred of a non-Jew for a Jew. Anti-Semitism reaches one level, but anti-Talmidei Chachamim, in the case of an Amoritz, reaches an even higher level than anti-Semitism. And therefore, we have to be very, very worried about our contact with such a person. Tanya Amar Rabbi Akiva, Kshayisi Amar Oretz. Now Rabbi Akiva reminds himself of his youth. He studied Torah, began at the age of 40. Amarti, I declared, Mi'iten li tamad chochem va'anashchenu kechamar. I will bite him like a donkey. Amar lo talmidav. Wait a minute, when we talk about an animal that bites, usually we talk about a dog. Is Rebbe emar kekelev? Why did you say kechamar? Amar lehem, Rebbe Akiva says, the reason I said bite him like a donkey is because zeh, in the case of a donkey, noshech v'shover etzem v'zeh, but in the case of a kelev, noshech v'eino shover etzem. So a chamor, if he's after you, his bite is that much more treacherous than the bite of a dog. He writes in the footnote in the name of the Marasha, Ein derech linshoch mamish ula shaber atzomos kavanoso shayim misragis olav laharalo. Again, he interprets this Gemara metaphorically. Shekein derech hamisrages al chavero lachrok shinov zu bezu. So this idea of biting someone is symbolic of an anger and a hatred of a person. Once again, let's just see if he adds anything to this. He says, forsaking the study of Torah, which sustains life, the Amoritz shows that he's reckless even with his own welfare. Therefore, he certainly has no concern for the welfare of others and might even kill others. The Gemara specifies traveling with an Amoritz, presumably because a journey through uninhabited areas affords him with opportunities for committing murder. He says that if it's absolutely urgent to kill the Amoritz immediately, like we explained before in one of the earlier notes that we read, that he is a Rodev, therefore we must use whatever method is needed for this purpose, regardless of how repulsive it is. And this is in contrast to the way we execute someone who in court who was condemned to die because of a capital crime. We use the least painful and the least humiliating manner. He quotes the Gemara Ksuba Samach Beis, Rabbi Kiva was an Amoritz until the age of 40. He says, Rabbi Kiva about himself, he wanted to bite through their bones. The Rasha says this is a metaphor for doing harm to someone. The Gemara in Ksubas that we mentioned earlier mentions that Rabbi Akiva possessed a fine character even before he became learned. He hated Torah scholars only because he thought that they had acted arrogantly towards Amei Haaretz. A lion devours its prey while it's still alive. It doesn't wait until it dies. So too an Amei Haaretz does not wait until his wife is appeased and willing to engage in marital relations. Rather, he takes her forcefully. Wow. Tanya, we learned it a braisa. If a person marries off his daughter to an Amoritz, ki'ilu kofsa menichal lefnei ha'ari. This was the Gemara that we mentioned before that compares the Amoritz to the lion. Ma'ari dores vi ochel vi ein lo boshes ponim. A lion attacks its prey, eats up its prey even before the death of its prey. The Ainlo Boshes Ponim, he's not embarrassed about that. Af Amoritz Make Uboel the Ainlo Boshes Ponim. He will physically harm his wife, and basically he's raping his wife. He doesn't try to pacify her in any way. He has no embarrassment about it. And now you're gonna marry your daughter off to such a man. Tanya, we learned in the Brice, Rabbi Lez Omer. Im mole anutzrichim lahem lamasu matan hayu hargin osadu. If not for the fact that we need to buy their wares, their goods that they're selling, their food, is they wouldn't be gaining anything by us, and they would kill us. The only reason they don't kill us is because they need our business. Tana Rabbi Chia kala osik b'torah lefnei Amoritz kilu bol arusasa b'fanav. So what's so terrible about studying Torah in the presence of an Amoritz? Why is it like bol arusasa, which is absolutely forbidden, b'fanav? Shenemar Torah tziva lanu Moshe morasha. the Torah is considered as compared to being a morosa for Kehilas Yaakov. So what exactly is Rabbi Chiya's point over here? Ha'osek b'Torah l'fnei ha'oretz. See if he adds anything. It's a really difficult piece here. He says, anyone who engages in Torah study before an Amoretz, it's as if he cohabits with the betrothed wife of the Amoretz before him, for thereby he embarrasses him. Alright? So he's embarrassing the Amoretz. Shenemar, Torah Tzivul on Moshe, Morosha, Altikim Morosha, Morosha. 24, the verse that teaches that the Torah is the betrothed of all congregants of Yaakov, even the Amei Ha'aretz. The Maharsha explains that the Torah became Israel's betrothed at Sinai. Like a betrothed wife, the Torah was merely designated for the Jews at that time. Their relationship was not consummated until they studied the Torah. Thus, to an Amei Ha'aretz who has not studied Torah, the Torah is still analogous to a betrothed wife. The Gemara continues with this braisa gedola, sina shesonim ama arts l'tamidi chachamim yoser mi sina shesonim umas ha'olam es Yisrael. That hatred is even more intense than the hatred of the enemies of Israel. Unishoseim yoser mehem, and their wives hate Torah scholars even more than they do. And Amei Ha'aretz is consumed with a jealousy of Torah scholars. He recognizes their superior attributes, feels that he is worthless in comparison. This jealousy burns even more fiercely in the hearts of their wives. Okay, so this reduces the hatred of the Amei Ha'aretz v'Talmid Chacham to jealousy. Okay, that's one possible perspective. He says here, Hakavod hi she'im sonei Amei Ha'aretz es Talmidei Chacham arezu sino shegedola yosef misinas nochrim liYisrael ach yesh Amei Ha'aretz she'enom sonim Talmidei Chacham. So again, you know, the Gemara is sort of generalizing, but it really depends how it fits the individual case. And he says, Amei Ha'aretz oskim b'malachtom urechokim mitalmidei chachamim ach nishoseihem doros somoch l'noshos talmidei chachamim. Okay, he's offering the following suggestion, that the Amei Ha'aretz himself, in order to make a living, he travels and he's far away from his home. His wife, on the other hand, is at home. She's not far from Talmidei Chachamim, or at least there are wives that live in the same area. These are wives of Talmidei Chachamim. Veroos she'enon mash'ilos lehen kelim u'misrachakos mehen kishohayu shomros tahara. Oh wow, this is a whole nother perspective here on the wives of the Amei Ha'aretz. And the richuk here is because the Eshes Talmid Chacham is very careful about Tumah V'Tahara, so she doesn't want to lend her kelim to the Eshes Amei Ha'aretz because she wants to make sure it remains tahor. Now he adds another addition here, which is metaphysical. He says, Nishmasa roa shaliolam abo eishas talmidei chacham tachlok o ito bischar limud Torah shalom. She realizes that the eishas talmid chacham will get a half of the schar of their husbands. The afshe ba'olam azer rala even though they're not doing well in this world. And then he writes that Amoritz Maka Osa Ubal Levino Mavral Midosav Il Tamidichacham Mechabed Talmudchacham Mechabed Is Ishto Mavral Midosav. So the close proximity between the wife of the Amoritz and the wife of the Talmud Chacham leads to a state of jealousy, because she's always comparing her relationship with her husband to that of her neighbor who's married to a Talmud Chacham. Lachain Machmas Kinezu Ta'orer Eishes Amoritz Sino Gedola Yosem Ibala. He doesn't have that burning jealousy that she has, because he's out there far away from the Talmidei Chachamim and so forth. Tanya Shana Uperesh Yosem Mikula. A person who studied Torah and then he leaves Torah, he knows many Talmidei Chachamim, and he writes there, V'yodea kama Talmidei Chachamim meganim es amoritz. He realizes and appreciates how bad is the resentment of the Talmidei Chachamim, or the ginui, the gnai that Talmidei Chachamim feel towards the amoritz. V'kama shvelim beinayim, realizing that they are low in the eyes of the Talmidei Chachamim. It even exceeds beyond the hatred of the enemies of the Jews. So this actually, this brisa seems to touch on the idea of jealousy. And the Amoritz feels very low in comparison to the Talmud Chacham. He suffers from that like inferiority complex. He says, one who has learned Torah and then departed from its ways hates Torah scholars more than any of them do, because he is aware of the low regard that the Torah scholars have for the Amei Ha'aretz. In other words, he knows from the inside, because he was once studying Torah, that how much the Talmidei Chachamim look down upon the Amei Ha'aretz. And that generates his sinna when he thinks about the low view that the Talmidei Chacham have of people like him. Tana Rabbanan Shisha Dvarim Nemru B'Amei Ha'aretz. There are six laws that apply to an Amoritz. Ein Mosrim Lem Edus. We do not invite them, subpoena them, to listen to their testimony. In other words, we don't trust their testimony. He writes in the footnote here, Ein mitzarfen oso im od shnayim achirim kdei lekabel edus. V'af she'ein echad motzui lachto bifnei shnayim mikom akom hoil v'ein yochel lahoid ein yochel lekabel edus. In other words, let's say we have two people who are sitting in a court and they want to receive the witnesses and allow the witnesses to testify. We should not add the Amei Ha'aretz as the third member of this tribunal. And the reason is because anyone who cannot be relied on to testify cannot be relied on to accept testimony. Ein mekabelin menu edus. And here he quotes the Meiri, who says, "Mipneshu choshud al hashvua v'al hagezel." V'ein megalim lem sod. We shouldn't reveal to them any secrets, because they are holchei rochil u'megalim l'rabim is mashiyodim. They like to blabber out loud and publicize whatever exciting, juicy news they find out about some secret. Ein memanenol son. Apotropos, Ali Yisomim. Right, if a young fellow was orphaned, Nebuch, then we have to appoint an apotropos, who is a pikeach that oversees all the financial needs and the expenses, and also the profits that go in and out of the bank account to the Yisomim. That's the apotropos. But in the case of an amoretz, then we will not appoint an apotropos. Why? Mipnei shechoshed al gezel v'al gneva. In other words, the apotropos is naive in a sense that if he thinks that he's representing someone who is honest, in the case of an amoretz, he's choshed al gezel v'al gneva. And therefore, ein memaneno son apotropos. We cannot appoint an amoretz as an apotropos. Al kupa shel tzedaka, to oversee the communal chest. V'ein mislavin imoim bederech, as we said earlier, we're afraid that he might kill you if you go alone with him on the road. V'yesh omrim, others say, af ein machrizin al aveidoso. We have no mitzvah regarding the amoretz and monetary possession. And therefore, ein machrizin al aveidoso. This is based on a pasuk, v'chein taseh l'chol aveidas achicha, and that's only achicha sha'osa maisa imach, but not an amoretz. And therefore, he's not included in this halacha of v'chein taseh, which is the source for achroza. He's not considered b'chlal achicha in the pasuk Kein Tasel Chol Avedas Achicha. Now, it seems that regarding this last law, there was a machlokas, because the Yesh Omrim is going beyond the Shisha Dvar. So it means there was a Tanakama, and he listed six laws with regard to Namaretz, and the Yesh Omrim added another law, that Ein Machrizin Al Avedasa. So the Gemara asks now the question. Apparently, the Tanakhama held that yes, we will be machriz avedas amaoretz. And the question is, why? The Tanakhama, zimnin denofik minei zara mi'al yovi ochele, shenemar yochin v'tzadik yilbosh. We have to take into the consideration the possibility that this amoretz will have children that are ksherim, that are good guys, and they will receive their nechassim, meaning they will inherit the nechassim from their father who is an amoretz. And therefore, financially, we have an obligation vis-a-vis the amoretz in order to, in effect, it's our obligation towards the children of the amoretz. Shenemar, Yochin v'tzadik yilbosh. Harosha yochin b'godov. But l'basof ha-tzadik yilbashen. So we should be machris on their aveda, because it's possible that ultimately whatever you return to the amaretz will be bequeathed to his children who are ksherim. So that's really interesting that this is the last line in Aragadita, that the Gemara, in a sense, ends this Haggadah on an upper note, so to speak, on a more positive note, that we, according to the Tanakhama at least, we will return a lost object to an Amoretz, and that comes under this Pasuk in Iyov, Yochin v'tzadik yilbosh. He, the wicked man, prepares a wardrobe, but a righteous man will wear it, and that righteous man will wear it as a reference to the children. And we suspect, or we hope, that the children of the Amoretz will return, you know, to the proper pathway. I wanted to end the shiur with the following note on this Yesh Omrim that's quoted here about Ein Machrizin Al Avedasa Shel Amoretz. And he writes in the name of Tosfos, that Medubar, we're talking about a case of Avra Shayor Shalami Oretz, Vera Inusha Aveda Nafla Mehem. So this caravan full of Ami Oretz passed by, and we saw that something got lost and fell from them. Because otherwise, Eino Niyodim Shaveda Shalam Oretz. How would you find an Aveda
and identify knowing that it belongs to Namaretz. However, others say, and the Rasha quotes these other opinions, that Midubar Shemotza Beged Sheeshal of Revev, O Min Alayim Hamituloyim, and you can tell for sure it's not something that the Talmud Chacham would have lost, because a Talmud Chacham is not allowed to wear a Beged that has a Revev. The Gemara says in Shabbos it's Chayav Misa, it has some sort of disgusting thing on the Beged. It's a Gnai L'Talmud Chacham to go out in Minolim Mituloyim. The Ben Yehoyada writes that we're talking about a case where he finds in a mavui of chatzeros, and these chatzeros are inhabited by Amei Haaretz, and therefore those who go into these courtyards, we can assume are Amei Haaretz. The Ran interprets that we're not talking about a case where he found an Aveda. If he finds an Aveda, he doesn't know who lost it. For sure he has to be machriz it. And if he knows who actually lost it, then for sure he's chayv to be machzer it. But the Gemara is talking about Ein mechazrin al atzolas avidoso shel amoris. In other words, if he sees that the chamor of an amoritz is toav aderech, then he's not chayev to run after and actively try to return this chamor to the amoritz. In any event, from the Braisa, it comes out that lahachriz al vedoso ein machrizim, but we're not allowed to steal biyadayim actively from the amoritz. And even though we said earlier in this amud that you're allowed to kill the amoritz, how much more so you're allowed to steal his mamon? But we should make the following distinction. There, we're talking about an Amoretz that we know for sure that he was aware of his creator. He was taught, and then he denied he was a kofir, and he was a lahachis. Here, we're talking about an Amoretz who's not a kofir lahachis. And there are many different categories of amaratzim, as the Gemara explains in Masechta Sota. And it would seem that an Amoretz who knows the Creator, and he had that education and that upbringing, and he's a kofel ahachis, then you would be allowed to steal from him actively. And the Gemara says that with regard to the Tanakama, we hope that from this Amoretz there will be children that will be tzaddikim. And that's why we should be machriz and make the effort to return the object to the Amoretz. Now, with regard to our Mishnah about haholech lishchot espischo v'lomel esbno, etc., and he reminds himself that he has chametz in his house, and he has time to go back and to destroy his chometz and then go back to his mitzvah. He has to go back to destroy his chometz. And someone who leaves Yerushalayim and he remembers that he has basar kodesh and he has to burn this kodesh, he has to go back lifnei abira, and he's got to burn it lifnei abira. He uses atzei marocha. And we said, on what amount, how much of the volume of kodesh obligates him to go back to burn it in the bira? We had a machlokas between Rabbi Meir, who says kibetza, and he applies that same shear of kibetza for destroying chametz, to have to go back to destroy a chametz if it's the size of a kibetza. Rabbi Yehuda says the shear is kizayis, both for basar kodesh and for chametz, for the mitzvah of bir chametz. And finally, we had the Shita of the Chachamim, which was a sort of split, a compromise, that with regard to Basar Kodesh, the shear is a kezias. With regard to chametz, it's a kebetza. And the sugi that Amir Tzashem we're going to cover on Yom Rishon is going to raise an apparent contradiction between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, as recorded in our Mishnah, as opposed to another Mishnah, which also records a machlok stream Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, but they seem to be conflicting Mishnayos, or two different transmissions of the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. And that's why the Gemara is going to start by asking this stira Nanimitz Shem will pick up on Yom Rishon.